Were you playing Ashen Cricket this week? good morning, church. Yeah, park ride, but that was like... good morning, everybody. I hope you've had an awesome week. Today's sermon is actually birthed out of Wednesday night prayer night that we had a while ago. Where Stephen and Rebecca and a few of us were like just praying about time and managing our time in God and in His kingdom and for God, and how that looks and how that plays out. And yeah, we just realized that, you know, in this day and age, time is one of our like biggest commodities that we can give. And yeah, so out of that, I want to read out of Joshua. It's a pretty cool story. It's about the sun standing still in a battle. So it's in Joshua 10, verse 1 to 15. It's quite a fairly lengthy section, so I'm just going to give you a bit of a backstory, and then we can dive into the more focused section. So there's a king, Adonai Zedek, who's the king of Jerusalem. And he has about Joshua's success. I don't know if you remember, a couple of weeks ago I spoke about Joshua and Gibeon and how Joshua had taken over the town of Ai and Jericho. That's that Jericho battle where they marched around Jericho seven times and then the walls came tumbling down. So it's after that story. This king Adonai Zedek hears about this, and he starts. Oh, then he hears also that the Gibeonites have then made a treaty with Joshua. The Gibeonites were already known for, they were like a big city, and they were already known for their battle abilities. Like they were a good warring city as well. So this king Adonai Zedek, when he finds out that the Gibeonites have basically teamed up with Joshua and the Israelites, he gets worried now. So he then calls all the neighboring Amorite cities or areas. And each of these areas had their own king. So this was one king, Adonai Zedek. So he calls on another four kings in the area and says, let's attack the Gibeonites before they have a chance to like partner up with Jericho, basically, Joshua, and come and attack us and take us over. So... So then these five kings decide, no, they're going to go and fight with the Gibeonites, and they head off there and they attack them. The Gibeonites then obviously send word to Joshua and say, hey, we have this peace treaty, please come and help us. And I'll pick up the story there just after that from verse 7. It says, so Joshua went up to Gilgal, he and all the people of war with him, and all the mighty men of valor. And the Lord said to Joshua, do not fear them, for I have given them into your hands. Not a man of them shall stand before you. So Joshua came upon them suddenly, having marched up all night from Gilgal. And the Lord threw them into a panic before Israel, who struck them with a great blow as Gibeon, and chased them by the way of the ascent of Beth Horon, and struck them as far as Azekiah and Makkedah. And as they fled before Israel, while they were going down the ascent of Beth Horon, the Lord threw them down large stones from heaven on them, as far as Azekiah, and they died. There were more who died because of the hailstones than the sons of Israel killed them with the sword. So like God killed more of them with hailstones than they did in the battle. At that time, Joshua spoke to the Lord in the day when the Lord gave the Ammonites over to the sons of Israel. And he said in the sight of Israel, sun, stand still at Gibeon, and moon in the valley of Ajalon. And the sun stood still and the moon stopped until the nation took vengeance on their enemies. Is it not written in the book of Jasher? The sun stopped in the middle of the heaven and did not hurry to set for about a whole day. There has been no day like this before or since when the Lord heeded the voice of a man, for the Lord fought for Israel. A few things that I want to take out of the scripture. Firstly, we can see Joshua honors his covenant with the Gibeonites. As soon as they call for him, he goes through to them and he helps them. Before this, God had told Joshua to wipe out this whole area. God had told Joshua that he had to take this land captive for himself, for the kingdom of God. And so this was in line with what God had told him to do. But because he had made a peace treaty with the Gibeonites, he hurried there to help them. But we see in this process, though, and we remember from the previous story, that the reason that he is in this peace treaty with the Gibeonites is because he originally didn't listen to God, didn't inquire of the Lord to find out if he should, like, because they made a peace treaty with him saying that they were far away and they just want to make sure that they're fine and that he doesn't attack them. And then they realize, oh, no, wait, he's like, they're like one of his neighbors. So Joshua didn't inquire of the Lord there, and he got himself involved in this peace treaty. So now we see Joshua gets back to listening to God and inquiring of the Lord. And we see that God then says to him, don't fear, I have given them into your hands. So the first thing and the important thing is for us to spend time with God. And I know, like, in our Christian circles, it's like, you know, do your quiet time, read the word, da, 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 da. And it's like, you know, it's so critically important for us. Like, how do we feel like we're going to be able to do the things of God and know God's guidance if we don't spend time with him? And more than that, it's like, I don't want it to be a religious thing, though. I don't want it to be a tick box, okay, I've done my quiet time. No, it's like we're engaging in a relationship with the King of the world, this loving, loving God who wants the best for us and wants to be in a relationship with us. And to be honest, it's pretty awesome when you're in relationship with God and he's speaking to you and he's guiding you and he's just been there for you through the thick and the thin of life, through your just your daily walk with God. I don't know, you hear of people, and I've experienced it as well, where it's like you get to a place where it's like, you know, God can make jokes with you and stuff like that. And I know that might seem irreverent, but it's like you get to a place where you have like a friendship with God. And it's like such a sweet, sweet place to be in. The God knows us. He made us. He knows us better than we know ourselves, better than anybody knows us. And he knows exactly how to speak to us, firstly, and also, you know, how to guide us and, you know, what we need in our daily lives. Maybe today we just need to get a joke from God. Tomorrow we can do the serious stuff. So I want to encourage us, not out of a place of like, you know, a religious act, but like an encouragement to like embrace this God. And I know in this day and age, especially we can say, no, we just don't have time. We just don't have time for God. And I would push back on that a bit, because when we don't have time, normally the first thing that goes is like our time with God, our quiet times and stuff. And I want to say, in my experience, it's those times that I don't have time, but I choose to, in any case, spend time with God. And then all of a sudden, that day, I've got extra time and or enough time. And I'll let my wife take the glory for my header for this sermon. She said, Joe, I should call it God Maths. It's like, it just doesn't maths, you know. We spend extra time with God, and then we have more time in the day. And God just, it's like God just aligns our focus, aligns our day. Everything is like streamlined. We have the guidance that we need, and all of a sudden we have the time that we need as well. We need to put God first in our lives, and the rest of it will all fall into place. And then secondly, if we remember, this was God's plan for Joshua, to take over this land, to take these countries. God has tasks for us. We even see in the account of Jesus, eventually when he's coming to the end of his life, Jesus says, okay, he has accomplished all that he has put him on earth to accomplish, basically, and then he goes to the cross. And in our lives as well, we see it throughout the Bible, God has tasks and plans for each and every one of our lives. And it's like, I don't want that to be like this burden and this searching and this like difficult thing. No, it's just about living in relationship with God and doing what he's tasked you to do today, tomorrow. Sometimes he gives you a bigger view or bigger picture view, and he says, okay, I want you to start this ministry, or, you know, I've called you to be an evangelist as the main thing, or I've called you to be an accountant as the main thing in your life. And then you run at that, and you know you can do that. But yes, even an accountant, Pierre. So he's got a lot of, like, God has got plans for our lives. And if we look at 2 Corinthians 9, verse 8, it says, and God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good works. God supplies you with all that you need in abundance for the tasks that he has given for you. He's not a God of just barely enough. He's a God of abundance. So it's like, as we follow God, we can find that abundant life. And it's the same thing. It's that God mass. It's like, you know, we just give up God, give God our time and our plans and our commitments, and he works out all of those things for us. He works out the smooth life where it's like you get to enjoy the plans that he has for you. Now, obviously, we have like a caution here where it's like we can do a lot of God things or things for God or just things for our lives and get ourselves very busy with stuff that God hasn't specifically called us to. And then we can also go like, yeah, you know, I just don't have time. I was speaking to like a mentor friend of ours, and he was saying that the same thing, like he was doing all these things for God, and he was in his work, in his career, he was saying he was doing so well, and he was doing this like in such a honoring way to the company and to his bosses and to like everybody involved, but he was getting burnt out. Like he was completely getting burnt out, and he took this to God, and God is like, you're doing an amazing job, but I didn't call you to do all of this. I only called you to do this section of the work that you're doing. And so for him, he had to take a step back and say, okay, well, I don't need to do all that other stuff. God has somebody else prepared and ready to do all of that stuff. And if you take on that stuff, you're taking away from that other person's section that they're supposed to be taking on. So it's like in this day and age, it can be very much a thing of like, you know, I'm busy, and it's a good thing. And it's like, no, we are supposed to be living a life of peace. And, you know, yes, God has things for us, but we see through Jesus' life, it's like he was never hurried. He was never, like, in a rush to quickly do this and quickly do that and quickly do that. And things popped up. Like, Jesus would be doing ministry, and then he's going to, like, pray for this person, and somebody else pops in, and he does a healing there and this and that. So stuff happens. But through the process, it's like it's all God timing. It's God math. It's not, we can't figure it out for ourselves. We just go faithfully to do what God wants us to do. Then thirdly, God will help you achieve the tasks that he has for you. You might say, like, you don't have time for quiet time or to read the word. But we can see through obedience, it's like God will make a way for you. God can save you time in the long run. He first helps Joshua here by, you know, the army's attacking him, and God puts into the four, five kings' armies, he puts panic into them or confusion. The different versions of the Bible give either panic or confusion. But either way, God equips them or makes them confused so that they have an easy victory over them. Like, it would have been a mammoth task for them taking over these or taking on these five different kingdoms. But because God puts them into confusion, all of a sudden they have this like instant victory almost, and these other five kingdoms start running for their towns, like to go and take shelter in their own cities. So it says the Israelites win the victory straight away, but then God stops the sun to give them more time to complete the tasks that they actually had, because God had originally given them the task of wiping out all those other nations completely, like not leaving a remnant of them, not leaving the city. So God then makes the sun and moon stand still so that they can achieve this task that they need to achieve. And it's like God will supernaturally, or can supernaturally, work in our lives like that. And it might not be like at this scale, but it also might be at this scale if you're at the scale of a task. Like, we've got to trust that God, because he does these things for Joshua, he can do these things for us as well. And especially when we know what God has for us or what he's calling us to, and we run at that, God is going to make a way for us. He brings the valleys up and he takes the mount and he flattens out the mountains for us. And then also, on top of that, as they are running, to help them achieve their task, he sends down a whole bunch of hailstones that smash them to pieces. So, I mean, you got to like almost just like look at the humor of this and go, oh my word, this is like the Mediterranean, like kind of like deserty area. And here you've got hailstones big enough to be killing people for raining down from heaven, killing more of the enemy there. Getting more of the enemy than even they do with their swords. And it's like God is for you. God is with you. When you're running at his tasks, it's like he's, it almost looks like God is doing everything he can to win this victory. And so often for us, it's like we can go, hey, I don't have the ability or the skill or the whatever to achieve this task. It's like, that means nothing. God will sort you out. He'll throw the hailstones. You'll put the enemy into confusion. It's like you just be faithful in doing what he's calling you to do. And sometimes that's scary, because sometimes we go like, hey, I really, really don't think that I can do this. It doesn't matter. It's like if that's what God is calling you to, that's where the faith aspect comes into it. And you know, it's like we've just got to run at it with all we have, like wholeheartedly. So again, it's like, you know, We see this God mass where it doesn't make sense. It doesn't add up. But it's birthed out of faith. And then when we do this, we allow God to show his hand, to show the miraculous abundance of what he's got for us. Where it's like he will accomplish these tasks for us. He will accomplish these goals for us. Like I said, in this day and age, there's many, many things that will try and steal our time. Everything is vying for our attention in this day and age. Satan will also tell you that you have lack in your life and you can't afford to do this. You can't afford to do what God is calling you to do. It's like he'll say you have lack of time. You don't have time to do quiet time or even to do the tasks that God has got you doing, because it's like, we make excuses that sound great, you know. No, I need to honor my boss or honor my... And yes, there is a level of honor there, and there is things to stay in line with and etc. But let the main thing be the main thing. God is the main thing. God is the one that we are following first and foremost. And he will work out those other things with his God maths. So we'll say, like, we don't have time. We might say we have lack of money to either be generous when God asks us to be generous or even to tithe. And it's like, let God do the math. Let God work out your finances. You just be obedient to God in what he's calling you to do. You might say I've got like maybe a lack of knowledge. Maybe it's just like, you know, I don't know how to spread the gospel. I don't know enough of the gospel. It's like, trust God. God will speak to you, speak through you in those moments. You just be faithful. Allow God to be God in your life. God tells us that with Him there is always abundance. Let's choose to say, even if it seems like there is not enough in our lives, even if it seems like we're not able to, we choose to give God our first in faith. It's like we choose to be obedient to God first in faithful, trusting that God will work out the things in the end. We see throughout the scriptures that God can redeem time, He can redeem our plans, He can restore our situations, He can restore where we have lost. God can come through for us. So it's like we just allow God to be God in our lives. With like redeeming time or God being God over time, we might say, you know, yeah, this is like Joshua, you know, the sun is standing still for him. It's this ridiculous thing, but me and my little life, come on now, that's not really going to happen. And I want to say, have faith. Like, even with me and Rebecca, we were having a debate one day in our kitchen, and Bex was like stressed about time and getting things done, and I was like, no, just go through the motions, God will sort it out. God is a God over time. I think I even referenced this story about the sun standing still, and she's like, no man, it doesn't happen, wada wada wada. And she, at a time without me knowing, she looked at the time just as a reference. And then we had this long debate for, I don't know, it must have been about 15 or 20 minutes at least. And then at that time, she's like, oh, but you see, and she looked at the clock and it was like the same time. And we were like, she was like, no freaking ways. She's like, God is just proving a point. And he did take my side a little bit. but it was for a purpose. It was to just bring that truth of like, don't underestimate God in your life. You don't have to be Joshua, the king of Israel, to have God work like that powerfully in your life. And that's not the only account. Like, my parents used to go on this Emmaus course, which is like a Christian retreat for a weekend. It was like twice a year, I think it was, or something. I just remember as small kids growing up, they used to go on this camp like quite regularly. But the whole camp was like, you know, it was run very strictly on time, like by the minute, but minute by minute, like happenings. And there's this whole team working in the background to keep everything on track while, you know, the ministry part of it is happening almost separately. And they got to one of the days where it was like they were running, I think it was something like 3 hours behind or something crazy like that. And they're just like, well, I don't know how they're going to catch us up, but whatever, they just carry on. And they went into like a talk. And when they came out to talk, out of the talk, the time had stood still and they had redeemed that time. God had redeemed that time and they were like basically back on track. And it was just like, it's a small thing, but it's a big thing, because it's like God, it doesn't have to be, you know, wiping out a whole nation. It's just God working in our lives. Simply, we're doing His will, His work, and allow Him to be God in our lives. Let God do the God maths. So I want to encourage us, prioritize spending time with God, the person of God and the Word of God. It's like so that we can get to know God's basic like truths, is the scriptures where we go, okay, this is our plumb line. This is how we deal with the situation, and we can get the easy answers or that faithful like foundations that we can just stand firm on when we hit the wall in life, when we go through the tough times and the trials and everything. We can go, no, this is God's way. We're going to do it like this. And then also, if we're not spending time with God, the Father, and just hearing from Him what He has for us individually, how are we going to know what to run at? Definitely, I want to just encourage us to take the time and allow God to work out the rest of our lives. Let us live lives of like like unhurried lives where we can just, you know, do the things, do the tasks that God has for us and allow God to like speak into those moments. And I've realized, like, you know, I used to do even just quiet time as a very religious thing, and I would do it faithfully, like twice a day, and God would speak to me through that and God would guide me and stuff. But I realized the sweetness of relationship with God is not in those moments of, like, in the morning when you're waking up or in the evening when you're going to bed. The sweetness of relationship is communion with the Holy Spirit day in, day out, all day. Like, in all your decisions, in all your ways, you know, acknowledge the Lord. And He will speak to you. He wants that relationship with you in your heart, in your mind. We grow in, like, hearing God and hearing Him, like, speaking to us in our day-to-day lives, not only in our, sort of specified quiet times, even though those are also important. So, that being said, Lord God Almighty, we just thank You for the plans that You have for our lives, for the good, good plans, and that You want to be with us and strengthen us through this and accomplish this with us. And Lord, thank You that You make a way for us, Lord. Lord, I pray that You would open our eyes to those opportunities to spend time with You. Open our eyes to see those opportunities where we can just, you know, allow You to be You, God. Where You can, you know, help us achieve Your goals for us, Lord. That You are there for us in the dirt, in the mud, you know, walking out our lives together. Lord, I pray that You would protect us, protect our minds, and Lord, that You would just excite us to have the time with You, excite us to walk this journey with You, Lord. Lord, that we can, you know, just taste and see that the Lord is good and that Your ways are good. Lord, help us to put You first in our lives always. Lord, You are so good to us and so faithful to us. Lord, help us to just have a greater awareness of You in and through our lives, Lord. In Jesus' name. We're going to take up communion now as well. Maybe in this time as we do, it's just like, take this moment just to, like, just commune with God as a friend. Sometimes we ourselves put distance between us and God and go, like, God is this big God in the sky far away and He doesn't really want to have anything to do with us. And He's like, no, He's given all that he has. He's given up His Son on the cross to die for our sins so that He can be this God who communes with us all day, every day. If I just look at most parents, how excited they are to spend time with their kids. I know that there's moments where you just, like, you've had enough, but for the most part, it's like you love your kids dearly and you love spending time with them and engaging with them, and it doesn't matter what time of day, it's like you're always open and available for them. And I think we underestimate how much God our Father, who's like outside of time, how much time He has for us and wants to spend with us. Thank You, Lord God, for all that You have for each and every one of our lives. The amazing, beautiful, exciting plans that You have for our lives to accomplish, and the fact that you are with us in that, whether it's collecting communion cups or whether it's starting a ministry or starting a business. Lord God Almighty, we just thank You that You are with us in all of this. And we pray that You would, you know, protect our time, that You would guide us in the small things and the big things, that You would open our eyes and our ears to You, Lord. That we can just experience and enjoy the sweetness of intimate relationship with You, Lord God Almighty. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray this all. Amen.